Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, hello. This is Caroline Siniza-Levine, co-founder of Six Figure Start and host of today's episode of the Six Figure Start Career Coaching Radio Show. So Six Figure Start is a career coaching firm dedicated to helping you build fulfilling and financially rewarding careers. Joy and money are not mutually exclusive. You can earn a great living doing work that you love. Now, we help job seekers because we are comprised exclusively of former Fortune 500 recruiters. So our coaching approach is based on inside knowledge into what companies are really looking for. I, in particular, specialize in career change and entrepreneurship because sometimes having a fulfilling and financially rewarding career mean you need to do something different altogether or go into business for yourself. We have a lot of free resources on our site. You can hear archived episodes of past radio shows at blogtalkradio.com, also in the blog section of our site, sixfigurestart.com. So head over there for more information. While you're there, you can sign up for our free bi-monthly newsletter for tips and advance notice of events delivered right to your inbox. And in fact, we have an event kicking off next week. We're going to do six webinars, free, focusing on, it's called Confessions of a Former Recruiter, and it's focusing again on this kind of inside peek into the hiring process. We're going to focus on different areas of the process, including resumes, interviewing, negotiation, getting noticed by recruiters. We're going to talk LinkedIn and social media, and we're also going to talk about pet peeves. So it'll be a very, very fun and informative webinar series. So normally, I break right into Q&A, and I take questions that have been submitted in advance. Now, you can always submit a question for the radio show at info@sixfigurestart.com. We encourage questions. We love questions. We cover them on the show and on our blog. But today, we have a very special show. We have with us today Sharon Small. Sharon, are you on the line right now?
Hi, Caroline. Yes, I am. How are you?
I'm good. So this is so exciting for me. Sharon, when did we meet? It's got to be at least 5 years. That would be my estimate. It's probably
actually
longer than that.
A little longer. I think we might have met in 08, 09.
Oh, that's exciting. So Six Figure Start was founded in 08. So I must have met you right when I had kicked off my coaching business. And at that point, did you just start your coaching business as well, or had you been in business before 2008?
I did. So both of our business babies were born the same year.
The same year. And so Sharon and I, we are both coaches. And Sharon, now you have an MA, organizational psychology, from Columbia University. You coach at the mid to executive levels on all facets of career, correct? Not just job search. You also do executive coaching?
Yes.
Great. And different industries, law, financial services, nonprofit, anything else you want to add that I didn't tell our audience?
You know, it's really run the gamut, Caroline. It really has. So there's certain things that are going to apply across the board regardless of what industry an individual is in, you know, certain career management pieces. But, yes, I've seen a lot across a variety of industries.
Great. So I wanted to really just have this show be a behind-the-scenes peek because you, before you became a coach, you were an HR professional. So you were basically on the other side of the desk, if you will, hiring people, promoting people, making these decisions, you know, about career success on behalf of an employer. And, you know, I'm curious, I guess I always like to know, what are you seeing in the job market or in professional development today that might be different than, you know, say, 10 years ago when you were working on the other side in HR?
Sure. So differences I'm seeing today versus 10 years ago. One big difference I'm noticing is the entire hiring process has changed a bit. In terms of 10 years ago, looking back at 2005, an individual might have faxed their resume or emailed their resume. It went to HR. They might have had one preliminary interview with human resources, a second interview with the person who would be their potential future boss, and then an offer was made. Now there are many more layers to the hiring process. A lot of times the initial screen will take place remotely. So it may take place over the phone via a phone interview or a Skype interview or some other program. And then an individual, depending on how they do, might be invited in for an in-person meeting. But nowadays there are many layers to those in-person meetings. There are many different levels. So whereas in the past an individual might have only had two rounds of interviews, nowadays, it can be very common to have 5, 6, 7. I've heard of some extremely high numbers, like 14, because companies want to be comfortable that they're selecting the right candidates for the role. Another change I've noticed is employers are really looking at how can they develop their staff. What opportunities for professional development are they working on to provide for their employees so that they can groom them for possibly succession planning purposes, so for them to ascend within the organization, take on more leadership roles, and equipping their employees with those tools that they need to be successful.
So do you find that there is more professional development available today than you would say before? Because I have to say, I agree with you 100% on the layer issue. I find that employers are, yes, they are increasing the number of interviews. I think they're making interviews harder in a sense. There's a lot more auditioning, if you will, you know, do a presentation or do an outline or do, you know, there's a lot more of that. So I agree with you 100% on that. In terms of professional development, I have to say with the recession and with companies sitting on a lot of cash, I've seen it both ways where, you know, some companies are still really good about developing their employees, but I have to say L&D is like the first thing that gets cut when there's a problem. Are you seeing that there's an increase? Or
I fully agree with you on that. That's the challenging part of the learning and development area, the organizational development area within an organization. Some organizations view those particular disciplines as nice to haves, but not a core essential component directly aligned with the bottom line of an organization. So when things begin to downward spiral with the economy, as we saw in 2008, yeah, those kinds of areas within an organization were eliminated. I do think now that things have upturned, organizations are really looking at that space in terms of thinking about, okay, the value, the longer-term value that it has to offer employees. So some organizations are more forward-thinking of the professional development and learning and development opportunities they want to provide. Others are still lagging a little bit, but, you know, I do see that organizations, for the most part, are trying. They're at least trying to make those offerings available.
Right. And so given, you know, getting back to your first point about the layers, you know, job search is much more complex these days. Can you share a client success story, maybe something that tells our listeners, you know, these are some things that are good practices or these are things that are working today, you know, advice, tips, that type of thing?
Absolutely. So it's funny that you mentioned earlier auditioning, because I feel like that's a lot of what's taking place now. Done are the days of the traditional sit down, give your elevator pitch, maybe a few times, and then you're extended an offer. Now companies are really having individuals audition for the role, and that audition may look very different as they ascend and go through the various rounds of interviews. So I had one client in particular. She was lovely. She was an amazing, amazing woman. And her interview process started off pretty normal. Your typical phone screen, that went well. She was invited in for an in-person interview. The unique thing about that interview was she actually had to give a presentation to different individuals who were members of senior management. So I think it might have been about five individuals that she was conducting a presentation to.
And what was the job? I mean, just so people know, like, what was, like, how senior was she? What was the job? What was the industry?
Got it. So it was a mid-level role. I don't want to go into too much detail around, about the specific job per se. It was in the marketing area.
Okay, yeah, marketing.
Yeah, so, you know, she came in and she pretty much gave a presentation. And in that presentation, she had to obtain the buy-in and sway the thinking of senior leadership as to why they should go a certain direction for marketing purposes. But the interesting thing is, it didn't stop there. The next round of interviews entailed more. So not a presentation, but her actually meeting with her fellow colleagues and other members of staff in a social setting in the evening. So that, again, is another way in which the interviewing process can be much different today than it was in years past. And I think the reason for that is they wanted to see another side of her in terms of how would she interact and mesh with the team and the group in a social setting. And she did a phenomenal job. She really had the buy-in of everyone she met with at that organization, from senior leadership, colleagues, everyone down the chain. And she ultimately did accept the position. And, you know, she's been there for quite some time now and is very happy there. But it just goes to show being flexible, being prepared for the unexpected, because this particular client was not expecting the interview process that she went through, but she also enjoyed it. It was a match. It was a match personality-wise. It was a match skill set-wise. Everything really fit nicely together.
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, I agree 100%. I've seen this too. So I've seen companies, not just marketing, I've seen with technology positions, with sales positions, with nonprofit, where they will ask for, you know, something related to the job. So it might be a presentation, it might be a piece of code, it might be analysis of some kind. I've also seen that sort of social interview, if you will, so meeting, you know, in an after-hours type of setting with colleagues and junior staff, you know, not just to the people who are traditionally, you know, vetting the candidates. So
yes,
there is a lot more of that. I think it speaks to your point about the layers. You know, I think employers are just gun shy about making a mistake, and they are putting in a lot more safeguards. Given that that's the case, I mean, what do you suggest? Do you coach your clients then specifically around these longer, more involved types of interviews? Do you just warn them about them? Like, what's a job seeker to do basically now
Sure.
that it's so much harder?
Exactly. So I always say to my clients, you know, kind of control what you can and manage your expectations accordingly. So I do give them the heads up to expect that the whole entire interview process can take quite some time. I once had a client who applied for a position in February, didn't actually start the job until October of that year. So it can take a very long period of time, and I really try to convey to my clients the importance of having a sizable number of opportunities that they're pursuing at one time, to definitely avoid placing all of their eggs in one basket, just simply because an individual never knows what may happen. So an organization might move forward with another candidate. There may be a hiring freeze. They may promote someone from within, which is oftentimes encouraged within an organization. So it's really important to have a diverse spread of opportunities that an individual is exploring in their job search to have a viable one and to really have the momentum built so that they land a position in the time frame they desire.
Mm-hmm. When you were, or maybe you've seen this as a coach, but certainly as an HR person, when you were making these types of hiring decisions and vetting people, are there particular things, or is there one thing in particular that candidates do that just, like, takes them out of the running, or that, you know, it's a real kind of pet peeve of yours that you've seen on the HR side?
Yes. So the biggest pet peeve that I experience, and I think this is common for other HR professionals as well as hiring managers, were those candidates who expected whoever they sent their information to figure out where they fit within the organization. So bearing that in mind, I always express to my clients, it's their job to determine how they'll fit a specific role and to convey compelling reasons why they're that fit. So to demonstrate relevant examples of what they've done at other places that they've worked at and organizations they've been a part of, that's going to assure the parties they're speaking with that they have the skill set needed to perform successfully in the role. So really staying away from generic information that doesn't paint a clear picture to someone in human resources, the individual's potential future boss, or anyone else they're in contact with, you know, really taking that extra step to convey how they fit for the position and supporting that with concrete proof.
And aside from that, when you're working with, I mean, because you work with experienced professionals, so when you've taken on an experienced professional who's in job search mode, is there stuff that they do or don't do that still surprises you? You know, you're thinking, I can't believe you are still doing that or haven't done that yet. You know, things that you think that someone who's experienced should already know. So that personalization example you gave, I think is a really, really good one, because I have heard that from recruiters. Mm-hmm. I've experienced that, where the candidate just, it's too generic. They haven't made a case for themselves. But are there other things that you think people should watch out for?
Absolutely. So some things that certain job seekers do that still surprise me are, one, definitely not being prepared for certain interview questions that, you know, at a certain level, so the mid to senior level of one's career, an individual can be expect to be asked. So thinking about those very common behavioral interview questions, the "so tell me about yourself" question, or the "tell me about two or three of your strengths" or "what are some of your weaknesses." Oftentimes, I come across individuals who are still stumped by those questions, believe it or not. And, you know, the key is really being prepared with responses to those questions, really thinking through how an individual would want to answer those questions and dispel any possible concerns that may come up. Another thing that I see that still surprises me is a passive approach to job searching. So what I mean by that is individuals who will just sit, they'll go on the job boards, they'll see what's out there, they'll apply, and they'll passively sit back and wait for the phone to ring or an email to come into their inbox inviting them in for an interview. You know, a successful job search is one that's really proactive, so following up on the information that a job seeker is sending out. Also, really following up on information derived from networking meetings. I think that's another really, really big thing. You know, if someone is taking the time to meet with someone, talk to them about their experiences and giving them tips and leads, it's imperative that a job seeker really follow up on that information as well as circle back with the source and keep them posted on where they are, what things have progressed, what are some challenges, what are some other ways that they can be helpful to the seeker.
Yeah, how long are job searches taking these days? Are you seeing, is it faster now that the economy's picking up a little bit? Or,
you know, I will say it really and truly varies on the individual. So you mentioned, yes, the economy absolutely is picking up. There are a lot more opportunities available, which is a fantastic thing. The opportunities are out there. I would say it really, the onus is on the job seeker in terms of the volume of opportunities they're pursuing and what their follow-up looks like. So a job search really, it can be as long as a job seeker potentially makes it. You know, the challenge with the summer months is a lot of times individuals within organizations, so the employers, they can be out of town on vacations, and job seekers sometimes might be discouraged because they're not hearing back from folks they're reaching out to, and they might want to take a little time off too. Not that that's a bad thing, but it's important to just really make sure that an individual who is in job search mode is really, you know, proactively engaged in activities that are going to result in them landing on a consistent basis. You know, it's not something that an individual can just say, oh, I'm tired, I'm going to take a break. You know, to see the result, you really have to push through.
Yeah, I think that's the hardest thing, because it can be exhausting, and physically, mentally, emotionally, the job search can, with all the ups and downs, I think it can be really, really exhausting. But I agree with you. I mean, I've seen people land something within, you know, a couple of months or several weeks, and then I've seen it take, obviously, much, much longer. Some of it's the complexity of the role they're going after. Some of it's just, you know, timing, luck of the draw kind of thing. But a lot of it is volume and quality and, you know, how much are you putting yourself out there and following up and circling back and pushing through that process. So that's a great, great, great point.
Absolutely.
And so anything, you know, as we kind of wrap up, now, Sharon, you're, you know, happily associated with Six Figure Star. You're listed on our site, but if people want to get in touch with you directly, or I don't know if you write anywhere or are on social, or like what's the best way other than through Six Figure Star to find you?
Sure. So the best way to find me would be through my website, and I can also give or share my email address. That would simply be, so the site is www.escoachingandconsulting.com, and is spelled out A-N-D. And my business is Empowering Success Career Coaching and Consulting. And
that's
for
great.
Folks who might want to shoot me an email, they can email me at my first name, Sharon, S-H-A-R-O-N, at escoachingandconsulting.com.
Great. So, Sharon, I appreciate you really, you know, coming in and talking to me about, I feel like I'm a broken record sometimes saying a lot of these things. These things are happening in the hiring process. Job seekers need to know these things if they can just be more proactive and on top of their job searches. There is hiring that's happening out there. So it's really exciting to hear, you know, some of these just insider tips, because I think people just need to take charge of their job search and get on it.
Exactly, exactly. It's going to yield the results desired. I say that to all of my clients. The work will not be for naught. It's going to be worth it. It's going to pay off. They just have to stick with it and, you know, surround themselves with a good, positive support network who can keep them motivated during those times when the job search doesn't feel so great.
No, absolutely. And so you've heard it here, right? Surround yourself with a support network. Keep going. And, you know, be proactive about your search. You can get a lot more tips like this at our website, sixfigurestart.com. And in fact, one of Sharon's points around, you know, practicing those interview questions, when you sign up for the newsletter at sixfigurestart.com, you get the 12 job interview questions that everybody needs to know. These are the same questions that we use to practice the interview with our clients. And so that comes free with the newsletter, which is also free. And like I said, next week we also are going to kick off a webinar series, Confessions of a Former Recruiter, with more insider tips like this. So check out the website, sixfigurestart.com, to get more information about the events, to look at past Blog Talk Radio episodes, to sign up for the newsletter, to get that interview question sheet. So much information there. We really appreciate you joining us for the Six Figure Start Career Coaching Radio Show. We will be on again next week. We are going to be talking to Katie Volt, who also is a former HR professional and also has done career coaching with some major universities. And so I'm going to be talking both about experienced recruiting, but then also campus recruiting. So behind the scenes of those two types of recruiting. So Sharon, thank you so much for joining me today, and I'm sure we'll be working together soon.
Yes, absolutely, Caroline. Thank you so much for inviting me today. I really appreciate it, and pleasure speaking with you.
Great. This is Caroline Sinisa-Levine, co-founder of Six Figure Start and host for the Six Figure Start Career Coaching Radio Show. Thanks so much. See you next week.